You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This week, we're going to be talking about WordPress website performance. We've got a friend of the show and one of the leading experts in this area. Helped me out. I think he's an expert. We got Brian Jackson on the show, and he and his co-founder, his brother, have a plugin that helps you perm matters. It's a leading plugin that helps you speed up your WordPress website. Plus, he helps a lot of clients improve their speed. So, Brian, can you give us a quick intro, a quick 10, 20-second intro about yourself? And then in the main part of the show, we go in a bit more detail about your background.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I'm the co-founder, along with my brother, at Forge Media. That's our agency name. And we have two plugins, our Perf Matters plugin, which is the performance optimization one. And then we have our NovaShare plugin, which is a social sharing plugin, but it's focused on performance. So like everything we do is basically fine-tuned around Core Web Vitals so that you can still get the sharing stuff, but without any of the slowdown. So those are the two plugins, and that's what we do full-time.
That's great. And I've got my great co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Yeah, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own a company called Mañana No Más. We focus largely on membership and learning type websites, and I work directly with folks like WP Tonic and Lifter LMS.
That's fantastic. And before we go into the main part of the show, I've got a message from one of our leading sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
Coming back, folks, I also want to point out we've got some great special offers from the sponsors. Plus, we got a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services that will save you a ton of time, you WordPress professional. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. And I think Brian's plugin is on that. If it is, and I will put it on that list. So Brian, how did you get involved in the world of WordPress initially?
Well, it was originally back, I've been blogging. I started my first WordPress site in 2008. So that's when that was back when it was still like a blog, like pretty much just blogging. I kind of just fell in love with just typing out tutorials. I was in IT at the time. So it was all like just always just sharing like SharePoint, all this just Microsoft IT stuff. And that's the world I lived in. And just fell in love with WordPress at that point. And over the years I kind of got more into the affiliate marketing stuff, like sharing like what I was using. Like, oh, I love this tool. I love this service. And so I was always writing about that. And then over time, I was just like wanting a better way to display, like, you know, kind of on the sidebar, like, hey, this is what I'm using. And then like maybe here's a discount code or something to share for it. So I had, my brother was a WordPress developer at the time, and we kind of just said like, what if we put together just a plugin to like share coupons and like services that we're using. So we made our WP Coupons plugin at the time, and it wasn't public or anything. We just were using it on our own blog for a while. And eventually we got so many people asking for it that we eventually packaged it up and started selling it as a plugin. So that's kind of how we got into the plugin space, I guess you could say, was it just grew out of something we were using on our own site and then turned into our kind of our first plugin.
Yeah, would you say your most intense period with WordPress was when, I don't know precisely what your official title is, I presume it was manager of SEO and content at Kinster Hosting. I think you would agree that was when you were in that role, it was the most intense period of your involvement in WordPress when it comes to intensity. Would that be correct?
Yeah, for sure, yeah. Yeah, I went through a couple different roles. When I left, I was the chief marketing officer.
Right.
And I wasn't doing as much of the day-to-day work as I, when they first hired me, because they grew really, really fast. But yeah, that was definitely the most intense period I've had in WordPress. But that's because I joined them when they were like 6 to 7 people. And when I left, there was over 100 people. So it was very different than when I joined them.
That's when you got a good view of the belly of the beast, wasn't it?
That was my first really glance at like doing a startup from kind of like the very bare bones to building out departments and stuff like that. And I don't think I like that. it was a journey to, and I learned like way more, but I don't think I'd ever want to start another startup. I would rather join another company that's already past that point. Cause yeah, it's just, there's so much work that goes into that.
Yeah. All right. Over to you, Kurt.
I kind of want to drive back to the Perf Matters product. And so when we think about Perf Matters, you know, as a plugin and a product, you also have consultation services, right? So you're seen as kind of like a leader in this area. How did you center on performance? What drove you to that? Was it a passion, or was it like you saw an opportunity and seized it?
Kind of both, because when I was back doing IT, like my first real, I guess you could say, WordPress job was at KeyCDN, which is a content delivery network. So it wasn't all the way into WordPress, but it was like WordPress and all these other, you know, Laravel and all these other platforms. And so I kind of was getting closer in my real job. And then I went to Kinsta and they got even closer because they were just WordPress at the time, like nothing else. And so once I knew that, I knew at that point, like I wanted to do just WordPress. And then having worked at KeyCDN, I kind of already had this like, how to make things faster type of thing. Cause CDN people are just, that's all they're thinking about. And then Kinsta was very, you know, obviously how do we do managed hosting with performance in mind? Like that was their kind of goal. So there was always this like drive to go faster type of thing. And I always just found it super fascinating. I don't know why, like how to make scripts smaller, how to get rid of more code to do the same thing. Like, I don't know. I always just found it like kind of like a puzzle type of thing. So I always found it fun. And while we were at, I was at Kinsta, the way Perf Matters was kind of born was that I kept seeing clients just needing to like, you have this, all this WP WordPress core crap that it's adding still. Like a host isn't going to fix that part of it for you. You know, like sure, Kinsta is doing all this great stuff on the server side. But like, you have a 30 kilobyte dash icons library you're loading that you're not even using at all. So like, why don't you just disable that? So stuff like that, like I really just love doing that type of thing. And so my brother, who is the developer kind of at that time, was we had our coupons plugin. So we kind of knew how to do a plugin. So we were like, let's build a Perf Matters plugin here and just start adding like disables to it. And that's kind of how that was created. And it kind of just morphed over time. But we don't officially advertise optimization services, but we do it anyways. I mean, it's we're thinking about publicly launching a like an audit service road here. But again, with our plugins, like we have we've invoiced people for like work and stuff, so we do that type of stuff all the time. And I think Jonathan will tell you, like, we'll go above and beyond usually when it comes to if you're using our plugin. Like, I'll tell you everything that's wrong with your site if you're using our plugin.
Yeah, you made me cry, actually, Brian. We're going to redevelop it. My WP Tonic site is enormous. It's an enormous website. It's got hundreds and hundreds of pages. And it was built over 8 years ago, and it's a Frankenstein. And it needs, but I just can't face. I don't want to put the money in it, and I can't face. I haven't got the bandwidth, so we're trying to keep it going. Probably, but I'll have it redone sometime at the end of this year.
Yeah. Most of the clients we work with have what you call the Frankenstein type of sites. Like they've been going for 6, 8, 10 years, and like it's just a mess of everything that's they've done over those 8 years, basically.
I wouldn't say the W Tonic is a mess, but I would say it's a consequence of anything that's been around a long time.
Yeah, and even our own sites, like, you know, the database, I'm sure there's some old stuff in there that shouldn't be there still, just because, you know, you install plugins, you remove them. Sometimes you don't get rid of everything. So it's just one of those things that kind of grows over time.
Yeah. I kind of had a follow-up question, if it's all right. I was thinking the listener and the viewer to this show, they hear the topic, but they might not understand like the benefit or why. So everybody wants a site that's faster, but like if you're developing a site for a business, what are the main advantages for the site to perform more quickly and better? And you had mentioned speeding things up for Kinsta. So what's the interest in a host for wanting to have higher performance? And maybe that'll help the listener and viewer understand why certain things like dynamic websites and stuff don't do so well with sub-performance things. Like, you got to triple how you use them, right?
Yeah. Well, anybody that knows me knows that I prefer managed WordPress hosting just because I feel like, you know, it's a couple more coffees a month, and like you're going to have so much more extra work done for you just automatically that you don't have to worry about.
I think it's the most abused term in the WordPress. In your mind, what is managed hosting? Because at WP Tonic, I think I'm bound to say this, but I say it, Kirk is quite up to putting me down. I think we go well beyond the average of what is seen as managed hosting at WP Tonic. Would you agree at that, Kirk?
Well, adding plugins, taking out plugins, setting up SMTPs for people. I mean, yeah, we above and beyond. There's more services given at WP Tonic than any other host I've used or tried.
Yeah. So what in your own mind is, when you say managed hosting, what is managed hosting?
I would put you guys at like a third layer almost type of thing. Like you have your, I'm just going to call them out here. You have your like your Bluehost type of thing, or your Namecheap hosting, like these shared WordPress hosts. And then you have your managed hosts, which are like, you know, Kinsta, Rocket.net, Big Scoots, these type of folks. And then you have kind of probably what you're doing, where you're going above and beyond and actually like going into the sites and doing all this stuff. But the reason I just say managed hosting is just to get away from those cheap shared hosts. Like if the sign up for your hosting provider is 99 cents a month, that is not a good hosting provider. I can just tell you that right off the
A certain interview, I've watched all your interviews that you've done about this subject, and you're on a certain podcast with a Belgian guy. But he put to you, he's a Belgian French, I think. But he put the concept, well, it doesn't matter what hosting you use, just use the cheapest and then just use Cloudflare and caching. Bob's your uncle. And in your very polite way, you kind of semi-pushed back on that, but he was adamant, wasn't he?
The reason I put back on that kind of goes to what Kurt mentioned earlier, was the dynamic sites, because Cloudflare is great, and we use it. Lots of hosts use it now, which is great. And that's great for when you're caching the entire site, like at different locations. But the moment you're bypassing cache, or like with these WooCommerce sites, like you always can't cache like the checkout page, the cart page, like all these places. And when you're not hitting cache, that's when the server is getting hit directly. So like if your server's slow, your WooCommerce site's gonna suffer. So the shared hosts are, they're using less resources. So like it's directly related to performance. So like I did push back with that guy because sure, if you cache the entire thing.
Well, it's been like I say, he's the worst, the Belgium French. They're the worst of the French. I've got an 8 love affair with the French. I've lived in France. But the worst of the worst I've found are Belgian French, Flemish Belgian speakers. They are the pits when it comes to they know it all.
More technical. It depends on your technical expertise too. Like if you don't know what caching is, you should go with a managed hosting provider who's probably going to handle it better. Because the guy I was talking with, he's a little more technical and like, sure, like maybe he can optimize his site to it caches.
He was correct. In a certain title website. I interrupted again. Shall we go on? I'm losing track. I knew I would with this conversation because we could really delve. That is, would you agree though that the term managed hosting, in your own mind, you've got a good grasp of what you think that really means? And me and Kirk think we've got a good grasp, or I have. I regularly mystify Kirk, but there we go. But I think in general, would you agree that in the beginning of 2025, it's a really abused term?
Yeah, I would agree. I just think of it as the hosts that provide the extra services that should be day to day. So like I have people reaching out all the time that like I ask for like, you need to troubleshoot this on a staging site. And they're like, how do I make a staging site? And like, you know, with the managed host, like it's a one click thing to make a staging site these days. Like that's just deliver. And like on these cheaper hosts, like you got to run a plugin just to make a staging site. And then you got to figure out the DNS. There's so much like just these little things having them, like it's worth the extra, you know, $20 a month or something to just get those extra things. That's kind of where I put the managed hosting providers. And sure, there's like Kinsta maybe in some, like Rocket.net, they go more performance, you know, heavy. They care about like, you know, how's Cloudflare optimizing the site and all that stuff. But yeah, I agree. It's a very broad term.
Yeah, I think it's well abused. And I didn't know if we should delve in, but I think we leave for our hosting recommendation to the bonus content. We can have a good slagging session then. So let's go on. So what are a couple of things that you regularly see that really affects WordPress performance in general? What's a couple of things that you really think that people should understand from this podcast, really?
The first one I see a lot is you should be using Cloudflare these days and using their edge, what they call their edge cache.
I'm going to butt in a little bit here. Yeah, I call it the dark triad of this. Where is the cache? I call it that. Where is the cache? Where is the ring, as I call it? Because you can have caching plugins installed. We have regular clients that come to us that got free caching plugins installed from various different developers. Then you can have caching from Flare. Then you can have caching from whatever hosting provider they're with, who keeps saying we've switched it off, but at best they switch it off for until the next update of their servers, or it's never really switched off. And then thrown into the witch's brew is a CDN. And that's kind of caching in a way, isn't it? So you could end up with where is the caching? Is this making sense, Brian?
No, I mean, I see it literally every single day on almost every client I work with. Like, they've got different cache setups. And
I think it's got worse, though, don't you?
Oh, no. I mean, you're You've got Object Cache, Varnish Cache, Cloudflare Cache, Hosting Cache, Page Cache, Plugin Cache. Exactly. And so like, yes, it's, I know what all those layers are, but for this person just trying to build a website for somebody, like, I mean, I can't even imagine like what it must be like, because yeah, there's just so many layers these days. However, I'm going to throw this out there again. I know you don't like it. It's another reason to go with a managed hosting provider, because you don't need a cache plugin necessarily. So like, there's just one less thing you got to like, I don't need to worry about this. Like, they're going to do it for me. But I agree, it's confusing. But the reason I say edge cache is so important is if you're serving global visitors, like, which you're probably with WP Tonic, like you're probably serving different countries, I'm assuming, like you want it to load fast in Germany just as fast as you do in, you know, Las Vegas or something. And so edge cache is the only way to really get rid of that server response time due to the distance. It's the only way to do it. And it was a great invention. And, you know, ever since edge cache kind of became popular, like, I've been trying to push it on people as much as I can, because it is really a powerful feature.
Yeah, we obviously, this whole term of what is a hosting provider is another term that's abused, because we don't provide the bare metal. We buy the bare metal from a partner. And they have their normal setup, and then we have, every time they provide a server setup, we have to ask them, remove everything, remove all the caching. And they've agreed to do that, but we still have to sometimes say, well, there seems to be caching here, and then they remove it and we're okay. And they've got the security setup can affect a performance, because these security plugins that are a nightmare. But what way we deal with it is, yeah, we use Cloudflare and we ask the customer to set up. But we use WP Rocket because we just want one ring. We want just one overall arching caching, because we're dealing with membership and community websites. And if anybody's dealt with BuddyBoss, that's the worst of the worst. But it's pretty grim with a membership site. We got to have caching, but we can't have caching on the back end. We just can't have it, because it's the road to madness. So how do you advise somebody that's got with your other interviews, you recommended a couple of other caching plugins. There's a lot of rubbish in that particular area. I think you recommended WP Fast Cache Pro, and you recommended Flying Press, which I was surprised, because I've had some bloody nightmares with those people. But I still think WP Rocket's pretty expensive, but it's solid as far as I'm concerned. But how does that work with what you're saying with Cloudflare? How do you recommend, if you're
going? Rocket's good too. I mean, I actually literally have Rocket mentioned on Perf Matter's site in multiple places. So like, that's great. Yeah, even though they're a competitor, I still meant it's a great product. So, but I have them kind of split out, as in like, here's some free ones and like, here's Rocket, because obviously, you know, people have different budgets. And so like, yeah, WP Fastest Cache is a great.
Is that a polite way to say that the people that are tight?
I guess you could say, yeah. I mean, you know what we're doing with WordPress folks here. So there's a.
Yeah, tight.
Of budgets.
Don't want to spend any money. Want top performance, but don't want to spend any money on it.
Fastest Cache is a great one. Super Page Cache, those are the two I really like that are kind of free. And then Rocket is a great premium one. And like, they've been around forever. So, but yeah, I mean, Cloudflare, like Rocket has an add-on in their tool. Like you can control the Cloudflare, whether it's purging the cache or not, kind of in Rocket there. But they don't do edge cache necessarily. So like Cloudflare APO. So like, you have to turn that on from your Cloudflare account technically. But yeah, it works great with those. But like you said, yeah, the different cache layers can be confusing sometimes. I mean, and if anyone does have questions about that and they're using Perf Matters, like feel free to reach out. I mean, I'll happy to answer any cache questions you have.
But can you expand, because I've interrupted a little bit, which I normally do. What does Cloudflare Edge do? What is it and what does it do? And then, you know, and it's become, you know, all these discussions, it's brought in all the time, is it? And use Cloudflare Edge. It seems to become the leader. Yeah. So what is it and why is it technically better than some of the other solutions?
It's pretty much becoming the norm. These days. And the reason it's better is, I mean, the easiest example is, like, let's say you have your server hosted in Nevada. Okay. So someone from Germany is going to go to your site. There's going to be probably a 500 to 600 millisecond delay on the server response time because of the distance across the ocean trying to get to your site. So that delay there is already going to hurt you. And there, in the past, like 5-6 years ago, there was no way to fix that. Like, you have to reach the website. It has to go across that distance. And while your site's cached locally, it's not cached all the way across. So when Edge Cache came out, basically that said, we're going to cache your entire site, including the HTML, in a Cloudflare location in Germany. So when that person in Germany goes to visit your site, technically hosted in Nevada, they actually hit it in Germany in the Cloudflare cache bucket. So they don't even have to do that distance anymore. And the server response time goes from 600 milliseconds down to 30 milliseconds. So it's a huge improvement on the server response time. Now, it doesn't impact, like, you know, JS images. These are all just normal CDN things that have been sped up for years and years and years. It's just that server response time. That's what the Edge cache is fixing. Now, if you're just serving local clients too, you might not need it. Like if you're just doing, say you're in Nevada there and you're just serving local clients in Nevada, like I wouldn't bother with Edge Cache because they're all, like you don't even care about anyone in Germany at that point. But if you're serving global clients, then I would say you want Edge Cache.
Yeah, but it's dynamite when it comes to WooCommerce or membership or BuddyBoss, isn't it? That's why you need to know, because caching is great. But the other, what's the difference? You do get Edge with the Cloudflare free account, but if you really do, would you recommend to go with the pro Cloudflare account? Because I think they offer some slight differences in the control of Edge, don't they?
So I want to make this clear. You don't get Edge caching in the free version of Cloudflare or the pro version of Cloudflare. Yep. The only way you get it from Cloudflare directly is to go in there and turn on what's called Cloudflare automatic optimization. And that costs $5 a month. But, or maybe you were referring to, like, you can add it in the free version. Like, you can flip it on in the free version with Cloudflare. So, yeah, either plan, you can go in there, turn on this Edge Cache Cloudflare automatic optimization. Now, for those out there that have, like, managed hosts, I would check with them first because a lot of them just bundled it. Like, Kinsta, Rocket.net, they have these already bundled in their pricing. So like you can just turn it on in your dashboard. You don't got to go pay separately for this stuff. So like check with your host first too. But
yeah. But when it comes to WooCommerce, and like I say, you got to be, can you settle? Yeah. That's what I mean, because you got to be a bit cagey with this because it can end up with a real, Festio, can't it? It could end up with a real pull your hair out.
Yeah, no, I agree. And again, this, I know I'm always mentioning managed hosts, but this is my bias of working there. But this is sometimes where like Kinsta and Rocket.net, like they have these rules in the background to make sure like things don't cache where they shouldn't, like on the cart page, the checkout page. And if you're just like doing WooCommerce straight on a shared hosting provider, many of these don't have these rules. So like you're going to end up caching the wrong thing and end up seeing like, why is the shopping cart showing for this other person that is completely on a different computer? Like that's what problems you start running into. And so you do want to be careful with cache because you don't want to cache the wrong thing. And so, yeah, that's definitely a problem. But you can go into Cloudflare and create rules say I want to exclude, like, I don't want the
thing to do in a WP Rocket. We tend to do the heavy lifting in a WP Rocket with working with Cloudflare. You know, we just want one, and it gives the micro control that we need. But we're boutique hosting providers. We got different requirements. I think with what you're saying, like a national US, with somebody that's got customers nationally or internationally, you really got to go with Cloudflare and Edge, really, because
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. I've interrupted a bit. I think we've got some knowledge there. It's time for our halftime break. We're going to be delving in the world of performance with WordPress. And we've got a lot more to discuss with a true expert, Brian Jackson. We will be back in a few moments.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. I've insulted the whole of Belgium. I don't care. They're nice people. It's only folks. We've had a fantastic discussion about performance. Just want to point out, if you're looking for a real great WordPress hosting partner, and you're looking for somebody that really specializes in performance and the setting up with membership and community focused websites, why don't you look at becoming a partner with WP Tonic? You can find more by going over to wp-tonic.com/partners, wp-tonic/partners, and we got some fabulous partnership plans that you will be blown away. Right, over to you, Kurt.
Well, I feel like my question is going to walk us backwards in the conversation a little, Brian, but like personal experience. I do a needs assessment with a customer. It's an e-learning website. They have a ton of videos. I say, you know, where's your video hosting account? They tell me they have Vimeo. And then I go into their website, and they loaded 16 gigs of video to the media bin, and were wondering why things were getting slowed down. You're right. Like, it's just like, so in your experience, what do you see regularly as common things that people do that affect their WordPress performance in a negative way?
I don't disagree with that.
The big daddy. They're never going to sponsor my show, but there we go. I don't care. I wouldn't take their money anyway. And that's saying something, because I would literally take money from anybody.
I put a few notes together on this topic. Like, maybe I'll just kind of go through a few bullet points.
Yeah.
That's helpful. Yeah. So like the biggest things that I see. So like, I would say, the first one is JavaScript. I always say JavaScript, JavaScript, JavaScript. That's always the problem on these sites most of the time. And I know, Jonathan, this was an example kind of on your site, was the Drift chat thing.
Yeah, like, we've got it back on, but we have done what your recommendations
about so like,
delay, and it's made a big difference.
Yeah.
But people like using those chat things.
Oh, yeah.
I like to get rid of it completely because they always want to talk to me at the wrong moment, but they love it. So we put it back on, but we did what your recommendations were.
Yeah. So like in that example, a lot of these chat boxes or third-party scripts like Google Analytics these days is like 140 kilobytes. Like,
there's scripts everywhere in there.
These scripts,
it's city, isn't it? It's gone bonkers, isn't it?
It's nuts. And they don't care about your performance. Like, it's obvious at this point, they don't care. Like, and so the only way to fix that really is to figure out ways around it, workarounds. And one way with like his example was to use Delay.js. And so like, that's something we have in our plugin. And basically you just delay the JavaScript on user interaction. And it's not really a hack because Google is saying this JavaScript is not used. So why load it? And so basically you're just delaying it till someone interacts with the page and then it loads. So like with a chat box, it's an easy example because you can't click the chat box until you move your mouse anyway. So it's like, why load it right away? So delaying JS is a huge thing these days. I think it's super helpful. Something I recommend pretty much everyone do.
You have to watch the show. I put in some comments. There's a certain WordPress person. He's put his 2p in it. Thanks, Matt. All right, sorry, Brian.
Another big thing I see these days, and I can't believe I'm still seeing it, but I see it literally every day, is people using TTF fonts. For people that don't know, there's different fonts. Like there's TTF were used way like 5-10 years ago. Then there's WAF, then came WAF 2. You want to be using WAF 2. The WAF 2 ones are smaller, more compressed, the modern versions, and it's like 98% browser support. Like you want to use .WAF 2. But every time I work on sites, I still see .TTF fonts. And so like, it's a simple fix. And like people are always like, awesome. They can go from like, each of these fonts is like 80 kilobytes down to a 20 kilobyte file. So you have 5 fonts. Do the math on that. That's a big decrease just by swapping to what they should have already been using. So stuff like that. Icon libraries is another huge one. I'm going to call out this person, Elements Kit. They load a 440.
I'm going to be called out a lot of people, but I don't care. You were having on this show, so you should have realized that anyway.
I don't mind calling some people out because they need to fix some of this stuff. It's almost getting worse, like you were saying, like these days. But yeah, they're loading a 448 kilobyte icon file. And most of the time you're not using, I've seen it down to sites. I have a tool where you can scan how much of the icon library you're using. And a lot of time they're using 0.5%. of that 448 kilobyte.
Yeah, but this is all good stuff, but we're talking about people that have hired numerous Fiverr people. And every Tom, Dick, and Harry's gone into their website and added stuff, removed stuff. You know, they don't even know what these Fiverr people have even done.
I agree. And I know exactly what you're saying because every time a lot of people that I work with they've done Fiverr jobs.
So they haven't got the money. They're just tired. They just want to go to Fiverr and Tom, Dick, and Harry. And, you know, if you're broke, you're broke. You got to do what you got to do. But a lot of these people aren't broke. They're just tired.
I think what you said there is important because what I found in tickets is most of the people that are working with these Fiverr people don't actually realize what the Fiverr guy did. And so part of its education, it'd be like, you know, here's why a 448 kilobyte icon library and you're only using 1% of it. Here's why that's a bad thing. Like a lot of people don't even know anything about this stuff. And so the Fiverr guy went in there, just added all these Elementor plugins and all this crap in there.
I'm going to be quite controversial here, but fair enough. But you know, this is great stuff, but let's be frank, if you're using Animator or Divi, it's all a freaking waste of time anyway, isn't it? You're finished anyway, aren't you?
I will stay Elementor.
You're finished anyway, aren't you, really? Unless you've got a real good hosting provider, which we do. We have people that run really successful sites on Divi, and an Elimator. We used to, our provider used, because it was like what you said in previous interviews, it was the best offering at the time. But we just throw more server resources at it because they're not prepared to spend the money on getting the site sorted out. So we just to keep them happy, we just throw more server resources at it. But that's all you can do.
Right? I mean, that's always one solution for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say Elementor has done a lot of improvement. The problem you get with
that's being very kind, aren't you? But you're a very generous person, aren't you?
The bigger problem actually is not Elementor. It's these third-party Elementor add-on plugins. Like, these are the guys that are killing it. The problem is once you have a client using Elementor, then they go down this rabbit hole of adding all these other Elementor third-party plugins. So it's kind of like a...
At least 100.
Yeah. So it's kind of a nightmare. And if anyone...
This does keep adding more add-on functionality.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see what else I got here. Oh, animations. This is another one. I'm just going to throw this under the bus here. Lottie and GZAP, if you see any of this stuff, like, stay away from it. Don't add these things to your site. And basically, for anyone that doesn't know, like, animations take JS time, which takes CPU time. So this all comes back to how fast the server can render things. Like, it's all coming back to resources. And so every little animation you see, if it's JS powered, not every animation.
Yeah, but Brian, we thought I have that homepage. It's got a pop. It's got a pop, Brian. It's got a pop. It doesn't pop. So, you know, you ain't done your job right as a web designer. It don't pop. You know, can you give some specifics? Well, I don't know. I only know what I don't like, and it doesn't pop.
I know. I always tell people, yeah, you gotta give sacrifices. Have to be made somewhere.
One thing, it's got to pop. Doesn't mean it, you know, it doesn't matter that it converts once it pops.
Yeah. What else?
He's keeping out of this. He's keeping his mouth shut.
I literally had a marketing director when I was corporately employed. He looked at one of my projects and he goes, I think it needs a little more sizzle and pop. And I almost spit my coffee.
You know, you're finished. You might as well just go and cut your throat. You know, you've had it. I'm sorry, Brian.
This piece will need some sizzle.
I'm just putting you off, Brian. I'm so sorry, Brian. But you knew what? You knew this was going to happen anyway, Brian.
I have a good example of what I do in those situations, is at least with my clients. So we'll take like a slider, Revolution slider, as the example here. So I will show them like...
Did you have to swear?
I will show them like, here's a performance test with Revolution slider running. And then I will show them, when you turn it off, here's another test with Revolution slider not running. And I show them the before and after, and you'd be surprised how much of a difference that makes. Something clicks. I think with most people, they'll be like, wow, that maybe I don't need this slider going back and forth. Maybe I can live without the slider because it's hurting the performance that much. So if you show them visually, especially with tests before and after, I feel like that clicks with a lot of folks. And then it'd be like, okay, like, why don't you just do a static hero with a nice CTA? Like, that's all you need. You don't see Google and all these places doing fancy sliders. There's a reason all those sites are static. Before and afters, so that's a good way to kind of convince a client. What else here? Oh, Google reCAPTCHA. Oh, that's another one. I have a doc on our site that has CAPTCHA alternatives that are like 95% less weight than the Google reCAPTCHA. So like I see that all the time because people just throw, you know, they turn on their reCAPTCHA integration with, you know, Gravity Forms or whatever they're using. And then they have reCAPTCHA loading everywhere. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned because we provide Fluent Forms and Fluent Forms Pro as part of our how unique package that hello hosting providers won't give you, by the way. But you still like Fluent, but you've gone off to form some other form plugin. Because why do you, have you gone off? You know, I'm going to upset Matt here, but who cares? He's used to it, so he can handle it. Have you gone off Gravity? Because we tend, and I use it myself, we tend to use Fluent Forms Pro, but they are, I still give Gravity their money, by the way, Matt. So that should bring a much smile to your face. But for the bigger projects, the custom projects, we use Gravity. Have you gone off Gravity Forms?
I haven't used Gravity Forms probably in 8 years. I was Fluent Forms for almost up until last year. I was Fluent Forms for many, many years. And the reason Fluent Forms is the best out there in terms of performance. If you're looking just the performance, Fluent Forms does a really, really good job. Now, if you need more like complex workflows, that's where I say Fluent Forms doesn't always solve everything. And so I use WS Form.
I'll forgive you.
I like WS Form. The reason I use that is for an integration with Google Drive and uploading attachments. There's just a couple things that I like how the workflow is better. And for our tickets, on our contact.
It's not like dealing with a client that's got a WooCommerce site. They're doing 2 million plus turnover and they've got Contact 7 on their website, is there?
Well, nothing wrong with Contact Form 7 either.
This was donkeys years ago when it was first developed by that German chef guy. I think he was a developer who was in food and I put in a support, very polite, and he basically told me I could stick it up my backside, basically. Lovely guy. A real charmer, but I think that was donkeys years ago. He's long gone.
Yeah, I don't know the history there because I actually haven't used Contact Forms. That was maybe back when I first started my first WordPress site. I did, but yeah, I was Fluent Forms is great for performance. I like them, and then I like WS Form for more advanced stuff. But like Gravity Forms does advanced stuff too.
There's certain form plugins. I'm not gonna, because I'm in enough trouble as it is. I've had too much coffee today, Brian, this morning already. But there's certain plugins that, you know, when you see them installed and they're talking about performance, you know, yeah, sure. Unless you remove it, we're all wasting our time, really, aren't we?
No, I agree. And even with some of these contact forms, like Gravity Forms, like I wouldn't recommend running Gravity Forms if you have like all the add-ons on, like on the homepage. I would recommend try to run it on your lead page or on your contact only. So like there are things you can do, like even if you have a bigger plugin to sometimes get around, but like Fluent Forms is great if you want pure speed, as small as scripts as you can get, maybe.
I've got my other co-host for my other podcast listening to this, poor Nico. Nico, it's going to be better tomorrow, actually. It's not going to be so bad, Nico. It's just a witch's brew. But if you follow, and I think you were right in previous interviews you had about this. Obviously, I think it's just having a staging site or somewhere you can play on. And I think people say it's the quality, not the volume, but I don't totally agree with that. I think on a production site, you want to keep it. And I can't defend myself because I've ended up with a lot of plugins on the WP Tonic website, but I've learned my lesson and it really got to be, I literally will look at anything rather than install another plugin. So I think there's a middle ground. It's the quality of the plugins, but you really do want to stop yourself from installing every plugin under the sun.
I kind of agree with you on that because the people touting quality usually are not the people that are dealing with clients that didn't analyze the quality of the 80 plugins that they had running. So in the real world, 80 plugins is a bad thing, regardless of the quality, because clients don't know the quality of the plugins. So like you said, like the amount of plugins you have running in the real world really does matter because it just decreases the amount of bad code that's on there.
Yeah. Back over to you, Kurt.
Hey. if we were going to take things back again, and I don't want to talk about WP Engine and Matt, like I want to say in 2024, what were the biggest changes in the platform that you think may have affected performance the most?
So I do have a few. I have a few notes on this too that I jotted down at least. I mean, and these are just for maybe kind of like performance changes, just not all just WordPress, but just in the performance realm. In 2024, like this last year, first thing is PHP 8.3 and 8.4 came out. If you're not using one of those, you should test and upgrade to them now because...
What are they, Brian?
What are they?
Yeah, because to the people who don't know.
Yeah, so like PHP is the software that runs on your server. That's what's powering all your WordPress code, basically.
It's got a very broad audience and mostly WordPress professional, but some people that won't know what you're talking about.
So if you don't know what it is, you can go in WordPress on your site and go to site tools or site health tools in there on your dashboard.
Don't do that on the production website. Yeah. Don't even ask us because some of the plugins won't stop working. Don't listen to him. Don't do it on the production website, please.
Well, if you want to take the risk, then go down to like site info and you can narrow down in there and see what version of PHP you're currently running. If you're on like anything under 8.2, I would say go test on a staging site with the newer versions of, because like here's an example, like PHP 8.3 is 10.4% faster than PHP 8.2.
Well, it's another major problem, isn't it? A lot of people running sites on very old versions, and especially certain hosting providers, it's unbelievable, isn't it? They're generally, unless you ask, they won't. And yeah, but you hope that a lot of these sites, unless they've got some custom coding and they just can't upgrade or something, is that their site doesn't really matter that much. But you'd be amazed, wouldn't you, at the amount of sites they're making really good money and they're on some ancient version of PHP, aren't they?
No, I agree. And sometimes performance doesn't matter.
Am I just old and cynical now? I don't know. I think I've finished, don't I, Bron?
No, I obsess over performance, but I will say that sometimes performance doesn't even matter based on who you are, because I've said in previous podcasts, I like the Taylor Swift example. Like, the Taylor Swift website is not optimized, but it doesn't need to be, because people will still go to the Taylor Swift website regardless and buy whatever's on there. So but the thing is, smaller people don't have that advantage.
So the PHP, what's the next thing before I interrupt again? Because I've made a sod of this interview, and I've been so many times. I'm sorry.
So AFIF, so there's different image formats. There's JPEG and PNG is, what everybody's been using for years. Then came WebP, which is a smaller version. You can compress your images to the WebP. And now we have AFIV. I don't even know if y'all pronounce it right, but it's AFIV.
Well, that's a whole other bucket, isn't it? Because we install as part of ShortPixel to help them. But it's a whole...
Yep.
It depends on what browser you're using, because isn't it there's certain browsers that will support certain image standards, and there's others that won't. That's a whole area in its own, isn't it?
Well, so AFIF got what you call in 2024. That's why I was going to mention this, is they got baseline support. Baseline is what Google is kind of a new thing they're using to say, like, it's universally supported by all the browsers now. And AFIF support is at 95% browser support. So, I mean, I've had some clients that have gone just straight uploading AFIFs. I don't know if I would be willing to do that yet, but like clients do that. And however, you would be safe to do that with WebP these days if you want to go straight to WebP. That's one thing that did change. So like, if you haven't looked into AFIF yet, like you might want to look. It's definitely smaller than WebP. It's not as big of a jump though from like JPEG to WebP, if that makes sense. But it is something. I've converted a few of my sites to AFIF now. Just not all of it, because it's a kind of a big undertaking.
I'm going to let Kurt take over for 5 minutes because I've got something I've got to deal with. I'll be back in a moment, folks.
Sure. I got a couple more. You want me to just run through?
Yeah, if you've got one or two more, I think that would be good. And then we can jump into AI a little bit.
This one's more WordPress specific. So WordPress launched what they call the speculative loading plugin. So basically what this does is in the past with our Perf Matters plugin, we have this thing called Instant Page. And what it did is it loaded a JS script. And when you hover over menus, it would try to preload some of those scripts in the background, like on the mouse hover, so that when you went to the page, it was faster, essentially. Now, basically, Chrome and these browsers have this speculative loading API. So now this is there's kind of like a support for this in the browser level. And so WordPress launched, it's free by the WordPress performance team, speculative loading plugin. I'm actually telling people to install this and use it, even over our instant page feature, which we'll probably end up removing eventually. And basically that takes advantage of the browser support, but to like preload the menu navigation type of stuff. So it's something, if you haven't looked at that yet, go check it out. I'm using it on our Perf Matters site even. So like, you know, take a look at that. A couple other quick things here. As of September 2024, all browsers support fetch priority. If you don't know what that is, like go on our Perf Matters site docs and like search fetch priority. You can like, I have some stuff on there you can read about fetch priority, but it's another one you should look into if you're not using it.
Another thing I would like to point out that Brian, if you really want to learn in detail this, Brian's got a tremendous amount of resources on that website, and it's a really great resource from people that really understand it. And you have spent a lot of time writing out a lot of content, haven't you?
And I do publish a lot of tips. I don't have time to blog these days, but I do publish tips that are not even Perf Matters always focus, just about how performance on our Perf Matters site. So like on our docs site, you'll find all sorts of performance.
It's one of the main resources that I go to educate myself on. So Brian, you've done an excellent job.
Oh, thank you. And the one last thing I will say here, again, this is kind of technical, but like sometimes it's good to know, is in the past, there's been gzip compression. This is at the server side, Bratly compression. And now there's this new one called Z-standard compression. This is something Cloudflare's kind of rolling out kind of behind the scenes to everybody. But like, if you don't know what it is, I'm about to publish a doc on our Perf Matters site. It's not quite there yet. Hopefully within the next week or two, but it's something you should take a look at if you're not doing it already.
So what's your position? Because we ask all our people to set up a free Cloudflare account because the security, we're anal about security, and I spend a lot of money with Mailcare and Blog Vault. They're the main, and I spend a lot of money with them, but they're a great company, and I think security and backup, they are, and we got three vector levels of backup. We got to be really anal about this, and we are, because there's nothing not having a backup and a backup that's not been hacked. So we're pretty anal about it. But some people criticize using Cloudflare because they've had some security problems, but I still think the benefits outweigh any concerns. Would you agree? I think you do agree with that, don't you?
Yeah, I don't know why they would have security problems with Cloudflare. Like Cloudflare should prevent more security problems.
Well, there have been some things said that Cloudflare has been hacked.
I mean, there's always risk of, you know, internal stuff, and like it's a company trying to make money. So like definitely there's risk.
And they've been criticized for some of their business practices, but I've always found them to be pretty decent people to do business with.
The hiring viral video.
Yeah.
The firing video or whatever. Yeah. So there's still, I've seen some of that stuff for sure, but I mean, I don't think that should stop people from using a good product in the end run. Like, I will still advertise Cloudflare even regardless.
So we go on to what AI tools you use. Do you use any on a regular basis, or you think it's Satan on earth?
No, so I use AI. I would say I was trying to think of this question the other day, and I use it probably a good 20, 30 times a day now. And this is up from last year. I would say last year it was probably like I was tinkering with it once a day or once every other, like, you know, just playing around. And like I use it all the time. Now I will say I have a premium X account, but so I use Grok a lot. I have a couple examples of what I use it for. So like the other night I used it for some tax questions in Washington State. We have this Nexus crap stuff we got to pay, my state and Washington State stuff. But so I forgot because it's only a thing you do once a year. So I had some tax questions. So I literally asked AI, I got the questions back. I was like, oh, that's right. Okay, that's how it worked. And so done. Easy, quick.
And obviously the Washington tax site was down. It obviously they don't have you as consultants, do they?
Twice in a row, too. They took it down and then they put another down.
That's what happens when you're running it on Joomla, isn't it? We're going to drop the final question because I know Kirk's got to go off. Brian, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Best way is probably just I'm on X a lot. That's probably where I push the most stuff. I'm on Blue Sky too, and all those places too. I'll respond. But yeah, on X at Brian Lee Jackson, or our site perfmatters.io. You know, you can send us a message there if you have performance questions or if you want to see about leasing our plugin, anything like that.
And I couldn't recommend Brian more. He's been very helpful, and he's one of the top people. There's so many quality people in WordPress, and Brian's one of them. So, Kurt, how can people find out more about you and what you're up to?
For business, it's anything Mañana No Más. Mañana No Más on X, Facebook, and of course, mañananomás.com. If you just want to make a connection, hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm the only Kurt Von Annen on LinkedIn. Makes me easy to find.
And thanks for being patient in this podcast, Kurt. It's actually going to get crazier. We're going to have some bonus content where we're going to be talking about hosting providers, page builders, caching. We're going to delve. I'm going to embarrass myself. Brian's just going to look at me like, what the fuck hell, I came on this podcast, but he's used to it. We're still a friend. And you can watch the bonus content on the WP Tonic website. It should be fun for you. Brian doesn't care. We will be back next week with our roundtable show, our notorious roundtable show, where I have my monthly kind of spewing of the leadership of WordPress and anybody else in tech that comes on my radar with my beloved panel. Should be great. Brian, you want to listen to get some giggles? We will be back next week, folks. But like I say, we will be continuing the discussion, which you can view on the WP Tonic YouTube channel. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.